The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Hey, we found Dr. Powers. How you doing, Doc? Welcome.
Oh, pleasure's all mine.
Okay. How are you doing this morning? Things okay? In the upright lock position?
Absolutely. A little difficult in terms of the telephone, but other than that, it's always a pleasure. A spring is here. Easter is on Sunday. And what more can we ask for?
Yeah. By the way, you have Charter Voice at your home. Did you have trouble with that? Sometimes we've had trouble with that, too. Just out of curiosity.
Yes. That's quite true. And I have Spectrum, which typically is good. But, there's a little problems. But today is another good day to be with you.
And, okay. Well, you know what the clue is, though? When I called you up, because I called you up a couple of minutes ago, and it says, I'm sorry, the person has not set up their voicemail yet. I know you've set up your voicemail before.
Oh.
Because I've left messages there, right? And so when I hear the Spectrum drone lady going, I'm sorry, oh, come on. And so I'm thinking, I can see Dr. Powers there rebooting his Spectrum internet connection or whatever it is. Okay,
that's very true. And, it's so funny, Bill, because I run into the same thing. And then even though I'm hearing that message, I'm saying, no, I'm talking to it. No, come on. That's not right.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, Doc, we've been the last few weeks going over how many of our cities have been founded here in Southern Oregon. And the one that you brought up today is Talent. And I always wondered where the name Talent came from. I don't know if you'd ever talked about it before. At first, I was wondering, did it have to do with a talent show or something? But you actually go into it. And I'm going to post this later today. But it all started with being a fort, right? Talent for progressive and sort of open-minded to a fault. As it is today. In fact, the minds are so open in Talent government that thoughts enter and fall immediately out the other side of the skull. But I digress, all right? But, well, kind of like Ashland, same sort of thing here, too. But it all started off as a military fort, right? Military outpost, essentially, is what it was.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story because for those of us in the area, Jacob Wagner was the one who was credited with building that stockade along the creek that bears his name, and is a beautiful area throughout there. And then, of course, you have the questions of the fire and things like this. But the important thing, though, is that this is a place of safety during the Rogue River Indian Wars.
Mm.
This is really an amazing place because the walls were 2 feet thick and 12 feet high with portholes for rifle fire.
And they were needed in those days. What kind of a world was it living here as a pioneer in the 1850s in that respect? How likely were you find yourself sideways with the Indian population?
Well, you have to throw away what the history books are saying now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you research into what actually happened then, you had armed conflict. You had both sides creating atrocities, and you had a situation that was very, very risky, because then what happened, though, was that Jacob Wagner then said, I'm going to go to Ashland. It's safer there. And he started up the first bottling enterprise with Lithia Spring Waters.
Yum, yum.
Which is 150 years ago or so. But then we had Aaron A.P. Talent, who moved into the air. And this is like, although we're going back, Bill, 150 years.
But that was that's where Talent got its current name. It's modern day name.
Yes.
From A.P.
Yes.
Talent.
And and it was great because what happened here, like a couple of other places, was that, A.P. Really got in there, opened up a general store, then became and was appointed the new postmaster. So when residents came there for their mail, they just said, hey, we're going to head to Talent.
So they just named it after him because he was the postmaster. And that was a big deal in those days, wasn't it?
It really was, especially because that was a place where you could talk to neighbors. You usually had a general store in the mm-hmm. area. You could go ahead and buy things. And you see, even though it was not as easy times as we have now, perhaps too easy as we have now, at that time it was one to where, the people really showed, the settlers really showed an ability, our forefathers, our great-great-grandparents, grandparents were able to really do a very good job. But then what happened, though, was that the railroad came by, but talent was just a stopping point. Now, interesting is that talent had developed way before we even had Medford.
Really?
Because Medford.
Well, I guess Ashland had developed before Medford also, right? Medford was much later development, really.
Yeah. And you see, the way it came through was that, first of all, from Wairika, people who tried to find the gold there decided and settled looking for the gold in Jacksonville and in Ashland. And that's where those towns started, especially with the smart ones who said, you know, this is crazy. I mean, why try to go ahead and pan for gold and fight for everything with everyone else?
Yeah. We'll build a general store here. We'll build a fort first, and then a general store and a post office, and then we'll pay for and then we'll supply the people doing that stuff, right?
Well, the Rogue River Indian Wars, though, were more centralized out there in the Talent area into the area going north of there. And north east, but you see, Ashland was not caught in that, so it was able to go. And also, Central Point was okay because you had wagon trails going through.
So you had a few miles could make a real big difference then on how susceptible you were to getting tomahawked, so to speak, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Also, and in terms of what time it was. Mm-hmm. Because the Indian Wars, the Rogue River Indian Wars, were in 1853 and 1855. And so that's where you would even have it with miners who would leave Jacksonville and go up into the Talon area, because settlers were moving all over the place. And what's interesting, though, is the fact that we can say that the settlers here and the people that populated this area were hardy souls.
Oh, you would have to be. You would have to be. Even the so-called softies in those days were probably tougher than the toughies today.
because they couldn't go ahead and falsify unemployment claims.
Yeah, exactly. So it all started then with Jacob Wagner, and of course we still see that today, Wagner Creek Road, as an example there. You know, named after the original person here. And was it Fort Wagner? Was that what it was when he built
yes,
that?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And this was a log stockade. But, you know, when I think about that in 1852, 1853, about 175 years ago, to build a fort and to create it, because they even had a blockhouse built inside. It was a place of refuge during the attacks. And then what you had then was that Jacob Wagner then took one quick look at Ashland, and he said, I'm going to go there.
Okay. Now, did Talent end up getting anything with the orchard boom of the early 1900s or not? Or did it kind of bypass that?
Yeah, it rose and fell as the area, because even then, Talent, to its advantage, had less cheaper housing, and you had Medford then, which was really having these wealthy Easterners that came in. You know, the University Club was formed. Now we're looking at 1909, 1910, and my friend, not only were you having those, but you had an opera house, you had libraries, the Carnegie Library,
yeah.
You had a number of different things are coming in. And the thing that really just resonates is that for cars, where at that time there's only one for 500 people in the entire United States, you had one in 10 there in Medford.
Boy, that tells you the level of wealth that was happening here at that time.
And it was
it's a big deal.
It was considerable, my friend, because that really got the shot going. And then when the orchard boom busted, you had the population declining, but then because of very far-minded individuals.
And growth in Ashland really ended up driving the growth in Talent then as a residential or bedroom community, right, over time.
Well, actually, Talent was really going ahead and fluctuating as Medford did, mm-hmm. Because it was so close to Medford. And people then would be driving or working away, horseback riding into Medford. Because that's where a lot of the action was with all of the orchards that were around there.
Yeah, that was the big city.
The bus.
Medford, the big city in those days, right? Hey, I wanted to ask you, now, wasn't there something you told me about, maybe this was a different profile, wasn't there something in the Talent area that was big with hops for brewing, or was it wheat that was big in Talent? I forget.
Actually, that gets right down into the Grants Pass area.
Oh, okay, it was hops in Grants Pass, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the hops, which is a very interesting story, I actually came across a friend of mine, a college friend, who remembers picking hops in that area. And he was at the University of Colorado at the time. And he would tell me the stories that in terms of picking hops, that it was something you could do during the summertime. And it was one to where, you know, kids and adults alike, but actually, if you were a 15, 16, 17, or 18,
yeah, you make some money at it.
And pick hops.
Yeah. Now, then wheat, though, that must have been in the Talent Ashland area, wasn't it? The wheat fields? Wasn't there a big, a lot of farming of wheat back in those days, too, down here in the Talent area?
But what was interesting, though, was the fact that, yes, you had it throughout Southern Oregon,
okay.
But it was primarily in Sam's Valley.
Sam's Valley. Okay.
Yeah, because that's a wonderful story in terms of those in that area.
Maybe we'll have to do that another day, all right? See, we've done so many profiles over the years. Sometimes my random access memory recall kind of conflates it.
Your questions keep me thinking quickly on the spot.
All right. Hey, let me take a quick break here and then we'll catch up on some of the news here. And let us continue. Let's shift it into the present now, if that's cool with you. Okay.
Sounds like a real winner, my friend.
And are you ready to do a little talk on the tariffing and the back and forth here? Because I'll tell you, a lot of drama in the market still, you know, this morning, too.
Oh, absolutely right. And on that, there's a number of things we can go into, and I'll wait for it.
All right. All coming up. Dr. Powers now going to present next on KMED.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736. CCB number 250730.
Homeowners are discovering what lawn care professionals have known for over 30 years. Walker riding mowers are one of the finest mowers on the market. The superior cut and grass handling capability, along with a quicker job time, make this premium riding mower the head of its class. See Zoll's Lawn and Garden Equipment, your local Walker dealer, and discover what out front mowing is like with Walker mowers, serving Southern Oregon and Northern California for 50 years. Zoll's on West Main Street is your full-service Walker mower dealer.
You know what I like about Freddy's Diner? Who am I kidding? I like everything about Freddy's, but in particular, it's burger heaven. There's the double cheese, the bacon cheese, and the Ortega pepper jack, the Western, the mushroom onion Swiss, avocado bacon cheese, pastrami Swiss, jalapeno jack, and the brisket burger, the main event burger, and the classic Brownsboro Tavern burger. Time is short, but next time, I'll get you up to speed on the sides. See you at Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has been your go-to transmission experts, proudly serving our region for over 40 years. This family-owned, award-winning business has grown to become the largest specialized transmission and gear train shop from Portland to Sacramento. With 10 lifts and a custom remanufacturing facility, they're equipped to get you back on the road quickly. Dusty's Transmissions keeps inventory stocked, minimizing downtime and saving you money. Trust the experts at Dusty's, 250 North Front Street, Central Point.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there.
The Oregon court has deemed Measure 114 constitutional. Good Guys Guns is ordering firearms and magazines daily. If you call and don't get an answer, they are on the phone helping customers. Keep calling or stop by the shop. Good Guys Guns will get you whatever you need before the deadline. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearms leader, located at 4934 Cradle Lake Avenue in Medford. Good Guys Guns.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon wildfire map that drew hate and consternation from landowners is going to die in the legislature, but while the map may be scrapped, many of the restrictions on landowners may still be in play. Senate Bill 83 would do away with the maps, instead allowing local counties to adopt model building codes and land restrictions to increase fire resistance. Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality says it'll be a few more days before business returns to normal following last week's apparent cyber attack. DEQ officials say there's still no evidence, however, of an actual data breach. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has announced a shakeup in management at the Oregon State Hospital. Following the death of a patient last month, the hospital's chief medical officer and interim superintendent, Dr. Sarah Wagner, resigned. Kotek made Dave Baden acting superintendent of the hospital. He was the OHA's deputy director of policy and programs. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The grilled super turkey sandwich is so popular, it has its own Twitter account. Follow it at Diner 62, just south of White City.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, Southern Oregon University. Hey, Doc, where do we find ourselves right now with tariffs? First it's on, first it's off, now it's up, now it's low. Where are we? What do you know?
That's an excellent question, my friend, because what we go into is, let's take a quick look at the stock market. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, please, that two-thirds of all trades are made by computers and alphanumeric software, and they react in split seconds.
Yeah, all it takes is a little bit of news one way or the other, because those machines will actually monitor news feeds, do they not? And they look for certain keywords, what's going on, and then all of a sudden sell or buy or short or whatever, right?
Yeah, they're not only looking for keywords, but they're also programmed in terms of certain price ranges. Now, for example, on the tariffs, we have Trump that was going ahead and in a smart move, exempted smartphones that came in over the weekend. And the reason for that was because of Apple and China. And the key thing is that people here, consumers here, would be seeing immediately the problems of higher taxes and higher prices because of China.
There was talk about a $3,200 iPhone. Right. That was some of the story I was reading.
And of course, what we have is the drive-by media and the Soros-backed media that is wild with what they're saying. And you just can't go to MSNBC, CBS, The New York Times for meaningful data. You can't.
But there's kind of a split on the tariffs. There are, Republicans very supportive of tariffs, and then there are also very principled Republicans also on the other side of that trade. Wouldn't you agree on that? There is not unanimity on this issue or on this policy, is there?
Oh, I agree, because the problem is you have rhinos in there. But the other thing is that, the key thing of a politician, other than how can you tell when they're lying, when their lips move, whether Republican or Democrat, is that this is a good job. The benefits are absolutely freaking impossible to duplicate anywhere else. And so they, the Republicans, get worried. And you see, also, you have this play, my friend, where Soros and the Biden supporters and all these other far lefters go ahead and do email campaigns against the Republicans, because the key thing, in my estimation, and I could be wrong, is that it's the tax situation that has to be made permanent, because that's where the Republicans, and everyone knows this in Washington, if the Republicans don't get that passed to make these.
In other words, if they can bash enough on the tariff drama, they're thinking that they can derail the tax bill. Is that kind of your take on that?
Yes, that's where I was leading to with the reasoning. And okay. You're right. But the other thing is that the same type of bad information is coming in on the tariffs. And when I go through and read different ones from the New York Times or the BBC or things like this, I'm finding all this type of stuff where more than 60% of CEOs expect a recession in the next 6 months due to tariff as a survey.
Yeah, I know Jamie Dimon over at J.P. Morgan Chase saying that too. Yeah, they're all pretty much reading from that hymnal right now.
Well, they are, and you see, the thing that now is making them very upset, which I love to see, is, I mean, there's special personalities that I love to listen to when I have the time on CNBC, their economist, who is very, very liberal as to when he gets caught by a Trump change on tariffs, because he's changing instantly, my friend, as he's seeing the markets change. And these other ones are stuck in sand. And watching them try to complain and criticize Trump, and then they'll say, oh, it's creating chaos.
Well,
the
market is up, though, is not necessarily indicative of the United States economy. This is one of the problems that I've had with the focus on the market for a long time. Although I'm in the market, I know you're in the market. A lot of other people are in the market, too. I got my little baby 401k, you know, and the market is not the economy. But at some level, though, it is indicating capital flows, where the money is flowing. And that does matter, though, doesn't it, ultimately?
It does, Bill. And that's excellent. It does. And it's an excellent point. But, for example, on the misleading drive-by media, where they talk about, oh, my golly, yields are down. This is terrible. And you say, and then they will print. I'm looking at one right now. Markets are losing money. Treasuries are losing money as investors pull their money out. BS. Because what's happening is that at one time, China, a few months ago, had $1.2 trillion in holdings.
Yeah, they were holding U.S. treasuries, weren't they?
And they're selling like crazy, and is now down to 700 million.
Well, that in essence, though, is their response then to the tariffing, right? Because they know because that's our weakness. And when China sells the debt, that ends up increasing. Doesn't that end up increasing that increases the interest rate? Isn't that what is happening?
Well, it includes the money flowing out. Mm-hmm. And with the money flowing out, then you have the far left, you know, with their collusion in the Times and with other places, they will never mention a half a trillion sold by China as the big amount of the money's flowing out.
So that was the cracking of the bond market that they were talking about last week, right? China, in essence, being the big dog on selling treasuries, selling American debt.
Yeah, and you know, my friend, that was just like the boy crying wolf. Because when you look at the actual amount, there wasn't that much of a problem. There was no problems with liquidity except for what the New York Times was crying.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not. I'm just trying to be fair about this. What I read, and I read a lot of different things, not as much as you do on this one.
Oh no.
But at some point, Treasury yields were going up 40 basis points, almost 0.5%, which is considered huge in the bond market, because as big as the stock market is, the bond market is much, 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 much larger in this world. You know,
very, very true observation and excellent. But the point that I'm coming into a little differently is the fact that bond markets and treasury markets are run by computers as quick with as much violent type of price moves as the stock market. Look at Apple. I'm looking at Apple right now because I was very curious about what would happen in terms of the fact that Apple, it looks like, is going to not be tariffed as much in the short term.
Yeah.
And
in the short term, yeah, that's going to be fine. I'm okay with tariffs. I really am. My concern with tariffs is that they be strategically targeted. And I don't see that necessarily with the Trump administration. It's where I think I break with the Trump administration on this. But I'm not an economist. I get that. I understand this. But I would be looking at truly the strategic minerals, these strategic industries, rather than, as an example, going after Vietnam because Vietnam sells more clothes to us than we sell to them. You know, that kind of thing. It's like there are certain things that our comparative advantage is not going to be our, bringing back our weaving looms to South Carolina, if you know what I'm saying. You know, that kind of thing.
This is a good argument that's coming in. Mm-hmm. Let me just do two things very quickly.
Okay.
Apple, just to give you an idea of the short-term fluctuations, immediately opened higher at 211, but now it's down to 203. These are big, big types of fluctuations by the alphanumerics. The other thing is where Trump is smart is the fact that he needs to dampen the stock market short term, because every single time when you lead up to an election, you don't want to have a great stock market all of a sudden being nailed by Soros.
In other words, he wants his recession now. He wants his downturn now rather than later.
I don't know one way or the other.
Well, the reason I bring up downturn is not that I'm talking about like being a Debbie Doomer. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, I know.
The thing is, though, is that everybody, this market has been frothy for years, right? You know, the credit creation over at the Federal Reserve, go, 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 go. It's been inflating asset prices for many, many years now. All you had to do was buy Apple, you bought Facebook or Meta, and you bought Google, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't matter. You made stupid money, right? And at some point, we are primed for a correction of some sort, weren't we? Honestly.
Oh, agreed. And you see, the problem is that even Wall Street, with all their Harvard and Yale and Ivy League managers, have no way of determining when there's going to be a correction. And that's part of the reason why the drive-by media, my friend, is so screwed up right now. It's because Trump is going faster than the market reacts. Now, the other thing is the fact that as to whether or not there's an R word, recession, no one really knows, because the fact that the thing that is not being talked about is what was there with Biden. And that's what you don't know, is all of a sudden, is there going to be an attack, you know, where Russia goes right into, small incursions into Poland. The unknown is what's always out there. And that's the thing where things can go down. Now, what Biden did is what with his – no, actually, he didn't. His minions who were running it along with Soros was that they were going ahead and saying, don't make waves. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. And that's why we have the mess we have. They really kowtowed to everyone in terms of China and Russia and things like this. They made lots of bluffs, but then they held Ukraine's hands back as what they could do. So part of the thing is, as I've been seeing, is that no one can predict where the market is going. I don't know if there's going to be a recession or not. I think the probabilities are less than 50%. But as you're pointing out so well, we are in uncertain times, and the far left is jumping all over it. But you see, Trump, my friend, can easily go ahead and make a decision 3 months from now. And that's what he's doing. He's in the maximum flexibility. He's in the open market.
Yeah, so it's really going to be 3 months from now that we're really looking at where it hits the, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Yeah, right? You're absolutely right. Hmm. You're absolutely right. And what part of the thing is that no one really knows where the market's going to be. But on the other hand, you can, on the probabilities, they're blaming Trump. They're blaming Musk. Why? Because the party of hate, the party of no, has got to go ahead, and they don't know what to say because Soros has totally captured that party with the far left.
Well, you know, it's I feel like we're in dueling oligarchs right now. You know, at this point, we got we got Georgie, as you were just talking about there on the left, and we got Elon, you know, on the right, supposedly, you know, for right now. So it, I don't know. It just feels a little bit odd, I suppose. Hey, Doc, I wanted to shift gears entirely before we take off here. All right. And that has to do with, have you been keeping apprised of the baseball deal that is at least openly being talked about with the city of Medford to maybe bring the Eugene Emeralds here? $90 million stadium is what a proposal was tossed out, you know, to them. As a professor of business law, what is your thought overall on sports team socialism, which is very big in the United States? You know, quite often people are, you know, will convince folks, pony up money, you know, and do this. Dig deep. What do you think?
Well, this is an area where, given the huge monies rolling in, not just from TV, but also from streamers like Netflix.
Yeah. Now, understand, though, that's not the kind of stuff, the deal that we'd be talking about here. It'd be A-level ball.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But what happens is that you have this higher elite with lots of money. And we know that in terms of this with Medford, there's people behind it, not as high as the ones that are talking about the Dodgers. But the key thing to me is, why don't you guys wake up? Because what in the hell is going on? You have this pool that went in, you know, and you have different ones that went in, such as a convention center. And this is nuts, because I would love, and Bill, you could really educate us on this, how much money is the city of Medford losing on the ones they've gone into already?
Can't tell that at the moment here. I know that they were talking about the great things about the Rogue X Aquatic Center because, well, now we have 900 birthday parties a year being done there. And it's like, and I'm thinking, nothing makes me feel better about paying 60, 65 bucks a year for the next 10 to 20 years on my water bill or on my utility bill so that people can have subsidized, taxpayer subsidized birthday parties, you know, within the water facility, you know.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And yet you don't want to be a Debbie Doomer or just say no to everything. You don't want to be one of those kind of people either, but it appears that maybe that's just the kind of semi-socialistic, fascistic economy we have here in the state of Oregon, which the only way you get something built is if you have the taxpayers build it first. And if that's the case, I want a brand new radio studio, okay? And I want lots of cameras, and I want to float a bond measure out of the city of Medford in order to make that happen. You think we can make it work?
And boy, that would be something I'd be in favor of, is the fact that I see what's happened with Jefferson Public Radio.
Yeah.
In terms of SOU.
Well, look what they did.
You're right conceptually.
Yeah, but they did that with Holly. I mean, sure, there was some private funding, but I'm sure no doubt tax funding was also leveraged. Yeah, that's
well,
the way it
right.
always works.
There were tax credits that came in there. But my concern, which is really your concern, and you have your ears totally to the ground, is that one thing I've seen generally is that whether it's a university president or it's long-term city councilors in Medford, is all of them want to have a big, big stadium or something that's a great looking, like an aquatic center.
You know, shiny bauble. We built this. You know, that kind of thing.
We built this. Mm-hmm. Which if we look at the tax things for Medford and look at it for Jackson County, none of us are going to be using that baseball stadium, so why in the hell add it to our taxes?
Well, that's one of the questions here, and I'm hoping that people will be wise about this. Now, no deals have been made yet. This was just a proposal last week. But, you know, Eugene, as crazy as Eugene can be, they saw the $100 million, the $100 million stadium deal that was offered to them from the Eugene Emeralds, and they said no, not just no, but hell no. And so now here, what Medford likes to do is just to have a vote of the council and then put it on parks and recreation utility fees, just like in Ashland. You know, you deal with the same sort of thing. We'll just put it on the parks and rec fee, right, that you all have to pay, whether you want to or not.
You know, Bill, and the other thing is some of us can remember not too long ago when we could see a minor league baseball game here. And what happens is that the ability of a minor league team to stay financially up is very difficult.
Well, even the Eugene Emeralds admits that it would take more than two decades before the revenue coming in would be greater than the expenses. Wow. You know.
I think they're being optimistic.
Okay. Well, and that's why it's like, I mean, how would I be able to get a loan on anybody if I said, hey, you know, I would like to, you know, Doc, I'd like to borrow $90 million from you. By the way, I can finally start paying you back really in about 20, 23 years. And then the business will be going really well by that time. My gosh, the earthquake could have destroyed everything by that time. For crying out loud, you know?
Are you going to also give me a little private seat that I can buy for $1,000?
Of course. Anytime you will, put your name on it, Doc. Hey, we'll catch you next Monday, okay?
Bill, thank you. It's always a delight.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, where past meets present. DennisPowersBooks.com. Thank you, Doctor. 855.
You need a water well project done right. Quickly, efficiently, and precisely. Who do you call? Clouser Drilling. With over 50 years of experience drilling nearly 5,000 wells, Clouser specializes exclusively in drilling wells. And with four modern drilling rigs, five licensed drillers, and a competent professional office staff to administer your project, you can expect the best customer service and results in the industry. One call dispatches the Clouser team and taps into their vast experience. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
At Intelligent Solutions saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate on qualifying systems, up to $1,000 on Bryant mini split and crossover heat pumps. Some exclusions apply. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Visit myadvancedair.com for details.
Your intelligent heating and cooling solution is at myadvancedair.com.
Two Dogs Fabricating carries Northstar flatbeds and trailers, along with a full line of Horizon and Iron Bull trailers. But we built our business on in-house custom fabrication. All custom jobs are under one roof, saving time and bringing costs down while constructing your bed or trailer exactly the way you want it. So if you have a unique trailer or flatbed in mind, Two Dogs will design and build and have you on the road in just a few weeks. Two Dogs Fabricating. Our doghouse is on Bryan Way, just off Sage Road. Visit twodogsfab.com.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Yeah, we'll grab a couple of emails of the day before we take off here. And those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant in Central Point. They accept most dental insurance plans, whether in-network or out-of-network, and they offer their own plan. If you don't have dental insurance, works like dental insurance, but with better benefits, fewer limitations, okay? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And Doobie writing me this morning, you know, Bill, my wife and I will occasionally go to a Rogues game as I love baseball. I'm with you on that one, Doobie. But he says, we don't go to many games because of the heat. When it's 95 degrees plus, it's just too darn hot to go sit out there for 3 hours, then throw in the smoke from the wildfires. No, thank you. Maybe night games are the answer. It doesn't get dark till 9:30 or 10 here in the summer. If the lights are on that late, the generators up on the hill start complaining. The folks up on the hill start complaining. Oh, yeah, I get it. All right. I'm not sure we have the population to support a Major League Baseball team. Well, yeah, that's where they have tended to go, to much larger communities here, Dobie. But I appreciate your writing about that. Darren and Tammy write, hey, Bill, another use stated for the ball stadium would be to host concerts. We can't even get enough concerts for the amphitheater at the fairgrounds. We can't rely only on tourism in our valley. When will the city and county understand that? And Jeff saying, Bill, jail? No. The stadium could be the homeless shelter. They can move them out before each game. You know, kind of like they do in San Francisco before all the politicians come and do the tours. Jeff, you crack me up over at Selma. I appreciate that. Hey, the email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. We will talk again tomorrow, and it'll be Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. You can talk about this and other things on your mind. Some pretty good stuff. You have yourself a great day. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins coming up. Also, 99.3 The Jukebox on 99.3. See you then.
We're here with Susan, a Clauser Drilling customer. Susan, what was the most impressive part of the experience?
Actually, seeing the trucks come in and get everything set up and getting started on the drilling itself.
And did you watch them perform the job?
I did watch them drill the well. I was so curious about it. And when they hit water, I burst into tears. I had my own waterworks going on. It was a tremendous, tremendous relief.
Visit ClauserDrilling.com.
This is Brent from Home and Built Deck and Fence. Your deck should be a safe space for family and friends. As a Trex Pro Gold deck builder and NADRA certified deck evaluator, I make sure that your deck is structurally sound and built to last. Upgrade with Trex deck lighting, secure handrails, and rain escape drainage systems, because safety and comfort go hand in hand. Contact me at 541-500-9330 or visit us at homeandbuilt.com. We build the best and fix the rest.
Southern Oregon's place to talk. KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, a bi-coastal media station.
It's 9 o'clock at KMED.